And was singing that, and I thought about preaching on one of these days those six cities of refuge. I don't know if you've ever read about them, but they were put three on one side of the river and three on the other side, that the manslayer might have a place to run to. That man that had murdered someone. And I got to thinking there about the Jews. They said, let his blood be on our hands and on our children. They're murderers. But God's got a place, a city of refuge, that they can even run to now and find safety from the avenger of blood. That's justice, by the way. It's coming. And Brother John said, if a man hate his brother without a cause, he's a murderer. He's got a city of refuge you can run to.
Amen.
And find shelter and refuge during that time. That's a wonderful song. I appreciate that this morning. Appreciate what God's doing. Let's turn in our Bibles to Solomon chapter 6 again this morning, if you would please. Solomon chapter number 6. And let's stand together. We'll not take time to read all of the verses. We will read the verse that I'm going to be dealing with here in the morning hour this morning. Chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible said, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word out of Solomon's Song chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's pray together. My Father, I bow in Your presence to thank You, Lord, for speaking to my heart this day, for blessing my soul, for helping my spirit. I thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God. I've looked forward to it all week long. Being able, Lord, to assemble in fellowship with Thee and with God's people. And, Lord, to have our needs met and our hearts blessed as only God can. I'm praying You'll save sinners today, Lord, that You'll start a movement, a real spiritual awakening in our midst. I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to bestir ourselves as the rustling takes place in the tops of the mulberry trees. Knowing, Lord, that You're moving again for us, that there has been a breeze from another world that's been heard within the camp of God's people. Help us, Lord, I pray this morning, to find liberty to preach and help from God. May Thy word that is brought today not return to Thee void, but accomplish all that God would have it to. Lord, may it revive Thy people and stir up the hearts of God's children. May it rebuke sin and, Lord, put the devil in his place. I pray that You'll give grace to the humble, that You'll strengthen the weak, the sick, the afflicted. Help us, I pray, to bring glory to Your wonderful name. Bless me and give power and liberty to preach. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, before I read our text this morning and announce what I'm going to be preaching, the thought that I'm going to be preaching for, I want to say this by way of introduction, that what I'm going to be preaching on this morning to the natural man, if you're here and all you are is a natural man, that is an unregenerate person, it's going to be very boring to you. If you are a carnally minded Christian, if there is such a thing, it's going to sound probably like babbling words without wisdom. But I do believe if you're a child of God, and not just a child of God, but a child of God that is expecting to grow in grace and to move just a little further up the line with God, I believe that it'll be a real blessing to you. Brother Wayne taught on Sunday school concerning Naphtali. and the jasper stone in the breastplate of the high priest. And Naphtali had something to do with a hind that was let loose on the mountains. And Brother Smith pointed out how that a hind is at liberty. They've got freedom. And their habitat is on the mountain. And he talked about Naphtali being a spiritual man and going on with God. I spoke with a preacher this week. I'm not going to tell you who it was or where the church was. But he said, Brother Hall, I preached there recently. And he said, the message that I preached, the preacher afterwards embraced me and thanked me for preaching it. And he said that I knew when I was preaching the message that that church had went as far with God as they were going to go. And I truly hope, church, that we've not come to that place in our Christian life that we have went as far with God as what we intend to go, or that we have maybe no desire to reach the top of that mountain and be spiritual men and women for the glory of God. Brother Smith said, we've not touched the hem of His garment, and we haven't. We've not arrived yet. I don't know anybody that's growing pin feathers. I don't know anybody that has arrived. I don't know anybody, including myself, that cannot be taught something from the Bible and learn more than what we've learned in these years that we've been saved. Did not the Lord say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? And He did not say that there will be a place that you will learn all that you can learn. Oh, no, my friend, a subject that it is as high and as broad as the Lord Jesus, how can you and I ever reach a place where we have arrived or attained or know all about Him that we ought to know? He is the wisest of the wisest. He is the most powerful of the strongest. He is from everlasting to everlasting. As the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the afternoon, my friend, God is there, has been there, and shall always be there. He is our God from everlasting to everlasting. Now I tell you, the hem of His garment is yet to be touched by you or I or any other Baptist preacher that I've ever known in my lifetime. That's right. And I tell you, if I believe if we really want something from God today and tonight, that we'll get it. I say this in honesty. If you're not spiritually minded, what I'm going to say will sound like an old story that you've heard many times before, and you'll brush it off as just being another 45 to 60 minute discourse that's been made from the pulpit of our church. But I want to try to preach this morning that second commendation that those queens and daughters and concubines give concerning the church, you and I, the bride of the Lord Jesus. And they said there that she is as fair as the moon. And if God will help me, and I believe He's going to, if God will help me this morning, I want to preach on this thought, moonlight reflections. Moonlight reflections for the glory of God. I want to say by way of introduction that the moon is not always full. It's not always shining in its full strength. I've been out and I've seen a quarter moon. I've seen half moons and three-quarter moons and full moons. And may I say that if it's a cloudy evening in our area, that there's been many times that I've seen no moon at all. That the moon is not shining, or maybe it's not shining in all of its strength. I want to say that so it is with a child of God. There are times in your life and my life when, as a Christian, my friend, that we fail to reflect the light of the grace of God as we ought to. There are times in our life when our light is not shining as brightly as God would want us to shine. But there are times that by through the sun's strength and the reflections of the sun upon you and I, my friend, that we give off reflections from us that cause us to be the light of the world, and it will bring sinners to a knowledge of the Son of God. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to say, my friend, that the super-duper soul-winning crowd is leading sinners to hell. They're pumping a little prayer out of them or a little profession of faith out of them, and they haven't never, I want to repeat that, that sinner having never, ever seen Christ, my friend, or making a profession in someone that they've never met, in someone that they've never seen, in someone they do not know, and they're dying without God, a twofold more child of hell, and they'll spend eternity in darkness without God for all time and all eternity. You can tell that crowd I said that. It don't bother me a bit, friend. Amen to God. I want to say that the moon regulates the seasons. Have you ever read that? Psalm 104 verse 19 says, He appointed the moon for seasons. You understand if the moon failed to shine or failed to come up in the evening time, that there would be no spring and no summer, no winter and no fall. Now, I'm going to tell you, these babbling morons that's talking about the what they call the heat problem, the warmth problem, global warming. Well, we might have global warming. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. As long as the moon comes up and goes into her four quarters during the course of every month, there are going to be seasons in the earth. You can mark that down. Yes, sir. And Solomon likened the church to the moon. And if that moon regulates the seasons, then it stands to reason, my friend, that you and I, as the church of the living God, are going to experience different seasons in our life. Oh, yeah. There's going to be summer months. I believe some of you is there. What does the summer do to you, friend? Does it not make you want to stay inside and make you get just a little bit lazy? That old song used to say, the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. And I'm afraid we're there. When we've gotten just a little lazy on God, a little laid back on God. But I'm telling you, that is a natural thing and a necessary thing. For without the seasons, my friend, there could be no growth and no crop harvest in the world. And without the seasons in our life, there can be no spiritual crop harvest for God's glory either. There's the fall of the year, when things turn beautiful. My friend, there's a time when the children of God can be the most beautiful creatures in all this world. There's a winter season when things are cold and we want to stay on the inside and build a fire. That fire, hey, now I'm going to tell you, when we go through a spiritual winter month, somebody in this church ought to build a fire, bless your heart, to warm those of us that are cold and indifferent on God. I wonder if we got a log in the house this morning. Got a match and some kindling wood. Somebody ought to be kindling wood. Somebody ought to be a log and throw another log on the fire and kindle a fire. Here, bless God, that'll warm up the people of God. Then I want to say there's always that springtime. Son, when the birds are a-singing, flowers are in bloom, that's when they let the animals out of the stalls. I've seen them let them little old horses out in the springtime. But then they'd go down over the field a-kicking up the heels and a-kneeing and a-carrying on. They are full of vim and vigor. And buddy, I tell you, in the springtime, God's people are full of vim and vigor for the glory of God. Oh, and I tell you, it's in the springtime, my friend, when things come alive and when things are revived. And I'm here to tell you, I'm looking for a springtime at Island Fork Baptist Church when we can experience an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, a revival for the glory of God. Oh, yes, sir, I feel the power of God working in my soul in an unusual way today. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to make two observations very quickly before I get to the thought. Listen carefully. The moon has no light of itself. It has no light of itself. It reflects only the light that is cast upon it by the sun. When you see the moon shining, it's a shining because it's a drawing its strength from the sun. Now, I'm telling you the reason there's not many moonlight reflections, my friend. Amen to God. It's because we found ourselves standing somewhere in the shadows, and we ought to get out of the shadows into the full light of the Son of God, that He may reflect His goodness and grace from us, that sinners can be saved by God's marvelous grace. Are you listening? I don't have any light. Years ago, Miss Owen, I went to Parable, Maryland, to Brother Willie Walton's, to a camp meeting in October. He let us off on an afternoon, told us we could go, said there's a boardwalk down to the bay, and Sister Hall and I walked down there, and there's a lighthouse. And I said, there's a lady there taking donations. I told Miss Hall, I said, I'm going to climb it. And she wouldn't go up in it because you had to climb straight up a step, and she's afraid somebody'd come in and see up her dress tail. She don't wear pants, you know. Even when we're away from here, she don't wear pants, you know what I mean? Now, I don't wear Bermuda shorts either. Or tank tops and all that mess. I dress all the time in breeches and a long-sleeved shirt. I won't charge you nothing for that. But I climbed up in that little old lighthouse, and I got to looking, it looked like a honeycomb on that thing. Big, thick pieces of glass that thick, and they were just staggered, one on top of another, all the way down over some kind of a fixture. And I said, well, my goodness, I said, how can that thing? That can't put out any light. And I got down and got to looking, you know, and there was just a little bitty light in the middle of that thing, just a little bitty old electric light that they had hooked up in it, that it may operate. It's not really in use, but they put electricity in it that they might simulate how that the light in the lighthouse worked. And I said, well, all that is a little bitty old light bulb. And I said, but those big pieces of glass, they can't put out 1 ounce of light. Son, they have no light in them at all. And the Holy Ghost said, but son, when that little bitty light on the inside is turned on, it'll put out enough light that those glasses on the outside can reflect the light that's on the inside. And it'll be like brightly beams our Father's mercy, sending out a light along the way for him, that some old sinner might come to God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that you and I, friend, ought to be clear. Oh, yes, not milky and muddy. There ought to be clear and no sin in our life, that light of Christ that's in us can shine through and send a reflection of the grace of God around the world. Don't leave me. I won't say secondly, the moon only gives off her light in the night hours. Now I'm about to get my message. Fair as the moon. Neighbor, the moon don't shine when the sun's a shining. Huh? Oh, that's right. It never shines in the daytime. God created the moon, the Bible said in Genesis account, to rule the night. I want to ask you something. Fair as the moon, do you rule the night in your life? Or does the night season rule you? I've given the moon to rule the night. I'm going to tell you what most folks do. They let the night season rule them. That's right. When the sun ain't a-shining, they let the night season rule them. That's right. The moon never shines in the daytime. Therefore, you and I, friend, must surely shine the brightest when the S-O-N, the Son of God, is hidden from you and I. I say the moon shines the brightest when it's dark outside, and a Christian will shine the brightest in the night seasons of their life. And oh, I'm here to tell you, my friend, in the night seasons of our life, most of the time, it's when we want to draw up in a shell, oh yes, and fail to reflect the light of the grace of God. But I'm telling you, it's those troublesome times, those difficult times, those hard times, that we will shine the brightest for the glory of God. I got to thinking why God had hidden Himself these past months. And the Holy Ghost said, son, I'm going to see how bright the folks are going to shine. Yes. If they're like the moon, they ought to be shining in full right now. Yes. Hear what it says? Get this. Sinners out here can't see the sun, but they can see the moon, friend. Oh, yes! They don't need to see you and me. Sinners need to see Christ. But they'll only see Christ as His light as we reflect the light of the grace of God to them. Then and then only will they see God. I don't know why I leave me. Hallelujah. Yet His rays upon us gives a reflection of His light to others. While you and I walk through the lonely valleys of life and trust His unseen hand in the night watches, Christ shines the brightest and is clearly revealed to a world that sits where they at? Darkness. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, a light is going to have to shine in their dark lives. And our light shines the brightest in the night seasons. I'm telling you, we're in the night season of trouble and sorrow, and they're living in the darkness of sin. And the only light they'll see is moonlight reflections of the Son of God as He reflects His power and glory from you and I to a lost and a dying world. Come on in the house now. How bright are you a-shining? Are you living a quarter life, half life, three-quarter life, or a full moon? What kind of a moon are you? Brother Hall, I don't like troubles. You'll never amount to a flip for God. Brother Hall, I don't like troubles and heartaches and sorrows. You will never reflect the grace of God. Did you hear what I said? I'm telling you, my friend, it is our troubles, our night seasons, our winter months, our hard times that shall reflect the greatest light of God. And it's at those times that sinners might see it and come to know God, the free pardon of sin. They shall be witnesses unto me. Well, here's how I'm going to witness. I'm going to knock on a screen door and get a man on his knees. But did they ever see Christ?
Come on in the house, Johnny. Now, I'm thankful for everything we can do to try to get out the gospel. I got a letter on the computer, on email just this week. Fellow said, "Dear Preacher Hall, said I've been saved since I was 26. I've been saved for 13 years. He said, I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Warren, Arkansas. And he said, I picked up a gospel tract out of the bathroom where I work at Potlatch Corporation. And said it had your name, your church, and your address. And said, I want you to know I'm glad, thank God, that there's another church, another people out there somewhere that wants to sow the good seed of the Word of God and get the Word of God out. Old Brother Andrew left that in that bathroom. That fella picked it up. Wasn't that an amazing thing? That's an amazing... Somebody said, Preacher, that ain't nothing. Oh, my God, we need to wake up this morning. Amen. Don't leave me now. I'm about to get somewhere. We're clearly revealed to the world that sets in darkness. Now come on in the house now. And friend, hey, reflections of His sufferings. They need to see a suffering Son of God. Somebody said, oh, Preacher, you're talking crazy. Am I now? Tell me a sinner ever got saved without seeing Calvary in its full light, friend. How can you look to Calvary without seeing the sufferings of the Son of God as He gave His life there a ransom for ours? I'm going to tell you what a world needs to see, my friend. He said, you're fair as a moon. They need to see the reflections of the sufferings of Christ. Oh, come on in the house, children. And how will they see that? Only when you and I are suffering like He did. Oh, but we don't want that, do we? Oh, we want to live on the high life and the big life and the good time. Live the smooth life. No problems, no suffering. I'm telling you, the world around us is going to hell because we're not willing to pay the price and suffer some for God. I said if you was carnal, you wouldn't get a thing out of it. If you're spiritual... If you're spiritual, you'll say, Preacher Hall's telling us the truth. They want to see a reflection. We need to be a reflection of His suffering. Somebody said, now, Preacher, the Health and Wealth Club down at the First Charismatic Church said that all you had to do was pray and you'd never get sick. You'd never get behind on your bills. That you'd never have a sad moment in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing wrong with the Health and the Wealth crowd. They're a bunch of lying devils, and that ain't the first lie they've ever told. Bunch of stinking charismatics. Filling the world full of their stinking false doctrine and cultism, dragging souls to hell, and trying, my friend, to identify Christianity with prosperity. I'm telling you, prosperity doesn't have one thing to do with Christianity. Show me one place where the Lord prospered. Didn't have a bed to lay His head on. The stars was His cover and the rocks was His pillow. Amen. And the deserts was His house that He lived in, my friend. They'd have a hard time justifying the rich man in Luke, or the poor man in Luke 16, wouldn't they? Come on now. Somebody said, you got any proof of that? For unto us, Philippians 1:29. Paul said, U.S., unto us. It is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His sake. Believing and suffering. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, come. Hey, all you got to do, I've heard them say, all you got to do, and I'm fixing the hammer on a lot of them. All you got to do is just believe. But the Bible said that we ought to believe and suffer for His sake. Now I'm going to show you why. Let me read this next verse. Now I'm going to show you why. Colossians 1:24, Brother Paul said, who now rejoice in
my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Brother Paul said, I'm going to fill up the sufferings of Christ. Come on in the house, children. If the church is His body and the head suffered, don't you think that it's only biblical that the body would suffer along with the head? Paul said, I'm going to fill up the sufferings of Christ. In other words, when Christ died, all the suffering, my friend, did not end. There was suffering yet to be for the glory of God. And it just so happens to be that it will suffer in the body, which is the church of the living God, my friend. Somebody said, well, I have never suffered and don't want to suffer. You'll be a minimal Christian all your life. That's right. You'll be a weak-minded, weak, little bitty twinkling light all of your life. And by the way, it's not just suffering. It is suffering in the right manner. No wonder people ain't being saved. In the 1960s and the 70s, we filled up the churches with a bunch of phony professions. Jack Hiles and his crowd, bus them in, get them in, pull them in, hook them in, kick them in, drag them in, bring them in, any way to get them in. One song down in Memphis, Tennessee, even sing a song, bust them in, bust them in, bust them in. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. You can bust them in, friend, but if they don't get in by the grace of God, you can bust them in, but they'll bust on out someday. Now, I'm telling you, the churches, the numbers in the churches are proven that those in the 70s didn't do anything but make a little silly profession without getting anything from God. Now, stay with me. Hey, how did Christ suffer? May I say He suffered innocently? Huh? 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered what? For sins. The just for the unjust. Get this now. That He might bring us to God. He suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And how did He suffer? He suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. Come on in the house, children. I won't charge you a thing for this. But I'm here to tell you that all the suffering for sins not over with. Somebody said, we never suffer for sin. Pig's eye, cow lick, and everything goes with it. May I say to you, friend, that the sickness that Norma Frazier is suffering from this morning is a result of sin? She is suffering for sin. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. I'm telling you that sin, my friend, sin has not been eradicated in this old body of flesh that we're dragging around with us this morning. May I say to you this morning that I, in my flesh, I am suffering because of sin. Oh, yes. Somebody said, what are you going to do about it? I hope that those of you that are suffering, and it does not have to be of outward suffering. I'll show that in a minute. But hey, I'm hoping that those of us that suffer, my friend, for sin may take it in the right manner, and God can use it to be a reflection of the grace of God, that others, my friend, might see the sufferings of Christ in us and get saved by the grace of Almighty God. Huh? That's right. Amen. One good thing about that, He suffered in the flesh, being put to death in the flesh. Amen. But He was quickened by the Spirit. Yes. Woo! Amen. Oh, but leave me now. I want to say not only did He suffer innocently, He suffered inwardly. Amen. Isaiah 53:11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. I could point out people in here this morning that I'm confident have suffered inwardly. You may not have a body affliction. Huh? But what about the grief of losing a loved one? What about the grief of a wayward child? What about the grief and the sorrow that is inward that folks out there, my friend, don't ever know you're going through? But I'm going to tell you what, God, when God saw the travail of His soul, He was satisfied. And, and that travail in our soul, that inward pain, that inward suffering, my friend, if we'll take it in the right attitude and the right frame of mind, God can use it to bring many to Christ. I've heard Harold Sotler tell a story about little Carolyn Grace, a little 11, 12-year-old girl hit by a drunk driver and died. It never hurt his flesh one bit, but I'm going to tell you, it broke a man on the inside. And God used him to build, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest ministries in the South that has ever been in our country yet today. Huh? Soul grief. Heart brokenness. Contrite spirit. A broken and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise, O God. I wonder when the last time John Q. Public out there saw a real Christian that was suffering in their soul, my friend, and had a broken spirit and a contrite heart, but rejoiced about it, that through that they might be a witness of the grace of God that's in their life. Some of the greatest Christians I've met to know and read about have suffered the most. Amen. Fanny Crosby, no eyes. Amen. David Brainerd died at 29 years old, probably from emphysema. Amen. But he's still being talked about today. Amen. I could go on, ladies and gentlemen. If you go back through the ages of time and read, you'll see it's been those dear old saints of God that have suffered in the flesh and in the soul that has really brought many to Christ through their sufferings. I want to say he suffered patiently. Now I'm getting ready to make an application. Don't leave me. He suffered patiently. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, revive not again. I'm telling you, we can't get sick. We can't have a problem. The night season comes upon us, and the first thing we do is start griping and moaning and bellyaching about it. Why am I sick, O God? Why are these things happening to me, Lord? Why am I going through this? Why is my son rebellious? Why is my daughter rebellious? Why has this sickness come upon me? Son, it just may be that God wants to use that if you'll take it patiently as a moonlight reflection of the sufferings of God that you, by His grace, might win somebody for Him. Suffering patiently, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I've made up my mind, whatever happens to me is going to happen to me. Are you listening? I was wondering about my throat this morning. I started trying to sing, and I said to myself, I better not sing. I better hold it back for preaching. But God told me months ago to let her all out and go for it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull the stops out, buddy. I'm not holding back anything. Preacher told me one time, said, preacher, you better slow down. Said you're going to burn out before your time. And he said, it'd be better to take it over the long haul than it would to burn out in a short period of time. I said, preacher, I ain't got but so much gas in my tank. And son, when it's empty, I'm going home to be with Jesus. And I'm going to run full throttle until I'm empty. Yes! I want to do all I can do for Him. Yes. I want to pray all I can pray. I will, oh yes, preach all I can preach. Give all the money I can give. Testify every opportunity I get to testify about the good grace of God. Son, I want to do all I can do and burn for Him. Yes. Somebody said, preacher, I don't want to burn like that. Unless you burn, they'll never see your light. Yes. They don't see. Hello. They don't see dark light, son.
That's right.
How many of you folks live back in the old days? How many of you remember kerosene lamps? You ever remember when they was in your home and that's all you had was a kerosene lamp? Let me talk to Sister Rickett over here for a minute. I guarantee you, Sister Rickard, you could take that match and light that little old wick and that kerosene light, and it'd just sit there and burn. It wouldn't give off much light, would it? But when you put that globe on there, it done more, didn't it? Folks, our light will shine a whole lot brighter if it's reflected through that glass, and that glass is Him.
Amen.
Are you listening? And I'm talking about reflections of His suffering. People see that suffering, and they ain't going to get saved otherwise. Somebody said, oh, I believe they can get saved by saying 1, 2, 3. Is that how you got in?
No, sir.
I believe they can get in by reading the sinner's prayer. Is that how you made it, the sinner's prayer? Now, I'm going to show you. Just don't leave me here. Suffering for Christ's sake is God's will for your life. Y'all, I'm going to have to make Jerry get up and shout. Y'all are starting to drag. You are dragging me. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Have you ceased from sin? If they're suffering in the flesh, Peter said, then we have ceased from sin. That he should no longer live the rest of his lifetime in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. Praise God, God's will for my life is I'm called to preach, and I got none called off a piece of plywood to go to Paraguay. And praise God, God's will for my life is I spend all my life over yonder in Paraguay or this and that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Oh, I know what God's will is. God's will is that I go off to school, get a real good education, get a great big church. God's will is for my life. I go over yonder somewhere and get a job, become head honcho, almost said a bad word. Woo! Become the HNIC over there in the church. I ramrod the pastor. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When was the last time you ever heard a preacher get up and say that it's God's will that you suffer?
Amen.
I have never heard him say it.
No.
Brother Larry Raines preached a fine message. And I'm not knowing it. They preached a fine message out Brother Don Anderson's. And he took his text. This is the will of God that you abstain from fornication. And it is God's will we abstain from fornication. Now, I've heard preachers take that and run with it. Boy, it's God's will that you young girls don't crawl up in the back seat with a man, commit fornication, you don't commit adultery, and on and on and on. And it's God's will that you marry. Oh, you got to marry somebody, and that's right, too. You got to marry somebody, you know, a Baptist can't marry outside of the Baptist camp. Got to marry a good saved boy, a good saved girl. That's God's will. God's will is this. God's will is that you tithe. God's will is you join church. But what about God's will to suffer?
Amen.
I've known people, Brother Shelby, that in God's will, they joined the church and sat on the church pew, never won anybody to God.
Amen.
Never influenced one soul.
Amen.
Never give off enough light to bring one sinner to a knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
But I have never seen a saint yet that suffered in the flesh or in the soul, that took it in the right attitude, my friend. That wasn't a real witness for the glory of God. I could take you to Mexico now and show you a little old boy by the name of Juan Antonio de Leon. And Juan's like this. That's how he walks. God called Juan to preach. Juan went to his parents' house to try to tell them about God. And they beat him in the face with their fist and run him off. Juan went back. They beat him in the face again. His brother beat him in the face and run him off again. But old Juan just kept on. They just kept on buffeting him, smiting him. He kept on suffering for Jesus and just kept on going back. And every time he'd go back, that little light just gets that much brighter.
That little light just kept on glowing. Finally, he went to one day, and his brother was in a gang, and he went down there, hobbled down that little old gang where his brother was at, and walked up to his brother, and his brother said, "Juan, you ought not to be here." And one of them fellas in that gang pulled out a knife and said, "I'm tired of this little crippled reprobate, they didn't call him a reprobate, but I'm sick and tired of him and his mess and trying to push his religion off on us." You know little old Juan, Miss Sharon. "Oh, yes." And his brother said, "Wait a minute, boys, this is my flesh and blood," and said, "He's just trying to do what was right." And I'm telling you, big brother took up for him. Somebody said, "What's going on now?" Last time I was down at Brother Fernando's and preached in Brother Fernando's, I looked out there on the church pew, and there sat Mr. and Mrs. De Leon. There sat little brother De Leon. Why? Because a little old crippled Mexican boy was willing, my friend, to suffer for the cause of Christ and take it graciously and take it patiently and take it in a kind way, that some old sinner might be pulled out of the fire, rescued from hell, and saved by the grace of God. I wonder if we're willing to do that. God, heal me. God, touch me. What about, may I say, suffering for Christ's sake? Get this. Listen. Can you get this? Suffering for Christ's sake is a revelation of the indwelling Christ in you. Here's what Brother Paul said, gentlemen. Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." Read it. Reveal His Son not to me. He was revealed to him on the road to Damascus. But when God separated him to preach the gospel, it pleased God to reveal His Son in Paul. Somebody said, "Well, how did He reveal Him?" Paul said, "Three times I was stoned. Once I was left for dead. I was day and a night in the deep. Perils often, robbers often, robbers, perils in my own country, perils in the deep, perils in the water." Paul said, "Even one time they let me down the wall in Damascus in a basket that I might get away from them." Son, hey, read in the book. There's never another man in all the Bible. Do you know another New Testament saint any greater than Paul?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about him. He told, and I can't think of the fellow's name, that went down to lay hands on him so he'd receive his sight, and they baptized him. He said, God told that fellow, said, "He's a chosen vessel unto me."
Amen.
And he told Paul and said, "You must suffer many things, Paul, for the Gentiles." I don't know of a greater New Testament Christian, buddy, than Paul. I don't know any more suffered any more than Paul did. Now, let me, if I may, come on in the house. Let me, if I may, illustrate it to you just a little bit right here. How do you think that the Philippian jailer got... Do you think it ever got saved if Paul and Barnabas hadn't got put in that jail? Do you think that they're having a hallelujah time down there, friend? Suffering.
Amen.
Suffering.
Amen.
In the jail. Huh? I'm going to tell you, that old jailer would have never seen Christ had they not suffered. I can give you a better one than that. And I have to be honest, my wife gave me this thought. Brother Billy, when did Nebuchadnezzar see Jesus? Do you know, Miss Sharon? Huh? No. Think again. You're close. Anybody know? Huh? Well, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Did we not cast three men bound in the fire?" But he said, "There's something going on. I see four in there." Now, I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego had never went in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar would have never seen Jesus. And it's when we're in the fire, some that He has revealed in us and manifest in us. God help us today, buddy.
Amen. I'm about to get done now. I want to make the application and we're going to the house. Reflections. When you think of Christ's sufferings, and I've got to hurry here or we won't get out of here for a while. When you think of Christ's sufferings as a reflection, you think of the moonlight reflections and our suffering being a reflection of His suffering. What do we think about? Come on, think. Get your mind rolling. When we think about the sufferings of Christ, where does our mind always run to? Calvary. What do we think about at Calvary? What was manifest at Calvary in His death and His sufferings? May I say to you that our suffering is a reflection of His wonderful grace.
Yeah.
Woo! I wish you could get a hold of that today like I've got it in my heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Some of you want to see sufferings, look to Calvary. Now I'm going to tell you, my friend, that our suffering is a reflection of Calvary. We're filling up the sufferings of Christ. It is in our suffering that they see the grace of God. Somebody, hey, I want to say in that grace, and I've got three things, and believe me, I'm going to try to hurry. His vicious scourging. Somebody said, oh, I've never been scourged. I'm going to prove to you that if you are a Christian, you have been.
Amen.
Then released He Barabbas unto them. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Somebody said, preacher, how can that scourging be a reflection of God's grace? Get this now. Isaiah 53:5. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I wonder when it was that He received those stripes. Was it not, my friend, when He was in Pilate's judgment hall being scourged by the Roman soldiers? Now get this. Somebody, and it says, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. I'm telling you, every time somebody gets sick, gets hurt, has a problem, they want it healed, taken care of, done away with right now. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, those times of chastisement, those times of suffering in our life are times of chastisement. And if we take them right, I'm going to tell you what, folks, by His stripes, they see the grace of God in them. As very patiently, very lovingly, very kind. Some of you all, hey, look here. And I want to say this, so you better listen to what I'm telling you. Some of you are in trouble. I'm telling you, some of you are in trouble. The sufferings that Christ lays on you to magnify His grace will do one of two things. It'll either draw you closer to Him or drive you away from it. And if you will let it draw you closer to Him, He'll bless you for it and use it. But if you let it drive you away from Him, you'll sit on the church pew and sulk the rest of your life.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And some of you is going backward.
Amen.
Some of you is going backward, my friend.
Amen.
Instead of forward, you backpedaling.
Amen.
Don't leave me. He can be touched when we are chastised. He can be touched.
Amen.
They see His grace in our sufferings, the verbal slander. And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come on down from the cross. When was the last time that we got a good tongue lashing and took it in a good,
Amen.
In good light? Oh, I ain't going to let them egg suckers tongue lie at me.
Yeah. Amen.
I've been there and said that. But I want to remind you that on Calvary, in His sufferings, when they walked by and wagged their heads and reviled Him and mocked Him and denied who He was,
Amen.
They asked Him to deny who you are. He didn't worry about their verbal slander.
Amen.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but stinking names will never hurt me. I've been called everything but a white man. It's a reflection of His grace. Listen carefully. In His visible separation. Matthew 27:45, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. I'll go here for Brother Mark. He acts like he's still listening to me a little bit. Wonder what happened during that sixth to the ninth hour. Got dark and it separated him from the Father. Wonder what we've been going through here. Maybe a little withdrawal of the bridegroom. God may be just sitting up there wondering how Island Ford Baptist Church is going to take the withdrawal. You reckon that the grace of God, that folks will be able to see their grace and they'll go on loving Jesus and doing the will of God?
Amen.
Even when the sky above them is dark.
Right.
Come on in the house, children.
Amen.
Not only is His suffering is a reflection of His grace, but it's a reflection of His gift. Now thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.
Yes.
Can you get a hold of this? Now I said if you're carnal, you ain't gonna help you.
Yes.
And if you're critical, it ain't gonna help you.
Right. Yes.
And if you're natural, it sure won't help you. But I won't say a gift of His love. Get this. Most of us, when we're suffering, what do we want? Huh? We want somebody to do what? Huh? That's right. We're suffering. We look to somebody to love us. Is that right or wrong? I've sat over there before and Miss Hall be doing something, and in my heart I say, she just must not even love me a bit. Well, here I've got Parkinson's disease and a bad back, and she don't show me no special attention much. Woman just don't love me no more. I wish to God she'd love me like she's supposed to love me. Now, somebody said, I ain't never done that. Come on, pity party. I know you have. You lying devil, too. But look here. When Jesus was suffering, He looked up in heaven and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for you and for your children. Now, look here. We got our backwards. You know why we can't win anybody to God? Because when we suffer a little bit, we look around us and want somebody to love us. But when Jesus suffered, He looked around Him to find somebody He could love.
Yeah.
Can you get a hold of that wonderful truth right there, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
May God help me to love somebody.
Yeah.
Not pitying myself, not petting myself and pitying me for what I'm going through, but realizing that if folks can see the suffering that I'm in, the problems that I'm enduring, and I can love them and with a good attitude about it.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say, I wish somebody loved me. He said, well, I'm going to find somebody I love.
Huh?
What about the gift of life? Huh? We can't give life to others. But Jesus gave His life while He was suffering. Can we not give our life while we're suffering?
Amen.
Come on in the house, children. What about His gift of likeness? Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Come on in the house. Being made conformable unto His death.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? When Christ, Paul said, I want to be made conformable to His death. In other words, I want to die like He died.
Amen.
Was it in His death that He won many people to God, or when He was out there in a boat with His disciples? I believe He was on the cross in His suffering. Let me ask you this. I can't get it out. I can't get what I want to say. Being made conformable unto His death. I'll just say it like this. Without the sufferings, He'd have never died. He wasn't instantly shot.
Right.
He didn't die of a heart attack suddenly. But in His death there was a series of events where He suffered. And we'll never be made conformable unto His death until we suffer.
Amen.
Can I read you something here real quickly? May I say that Jesus suffered unto death? Listen what the writer says about the church at Smyrna. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer.
Amen.
Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death.
Amen.
And I'll give thee a crown of life.
Amen.
It's glorious if we can get a hold of it.
Amen.
Not only His grace and His gift, and I'm about done, but His glee. And I say joy. I use the word glee for alliteration. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Suffering with joy in our heart.
Amen.
You know what? Joe Hunt told me the other day, he said, "Preacher," said, "I like old Brother Doug Bell." Said, "I call in there and say, how you doing today, Brother Bell?" And he always says, "Wonderful!" I asked Brother Andrew, every time he comes in for prayer meeting on Saturday night, "How you doing, Brother Andy?" "Wonderful!" And I know both of them got problems. But they sure don't let everybody else know about them.
Amen.
Are you listening? A reflection of His joy. I'm going to say that our suffering is a reflection of the grave.
Yes, sir.
He suffered unto death.
Amen.
He died and was buried.
Amen.
I said when Joseph had taken the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, friend, our suffering ought to be a reflection of the grave.
Yes, sir.
He
Amen.
Suffered unto death.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Brother Hall, the grave is an ugly thing. Well, it might be kind of ugly, but 3 days later.
Amen.
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 If there's any shout in us, right here's where we'd get it, but I'm afraid there ain't much in it.
Amen.
His suffering is a reflection of His grace, His gift, His glee, His grave. But it's also a reflection of His glory.
Amen.
You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. And I could take you, if I had time and I forgot about the verse, I'd take time if I had remembered the verse. I believe it's in Philippians where Paul said, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad 3 days later, up from the grave He arose, a mighty triumph for His foes. And brother, our suffering is a reflection, a moonlight reflection of the glory that is to be manifest in us. You got any moonlight reflections? Or when you get in the night season, do you go in and crawl in the bed and cover up your head? Some of you suck worse than a baby. Some of you men ought to have your hind end spanked. That's right. Some of you fellas couldn't smile. You couldn't say amen.
Hallelujah.
God, I'm going to pray and ask God to spank you.
Amen.
Can I say this? Get this. And I'll stop right now. I know it's 1 o'clock and after. But only His choice ones have the privilege. I said the privilege.
Amen.
To suffer.
That's right. Amen.
Only His chosen choice ones. Everybody
Amen.
Can't do it. Has He used something in your life to bring a little suffering? Either inward or outward?
Amen.
God will use many, many things. You're privileged if He has. Come on, the house, young
man.
And God don't revel in sin, Brother Andy. Say something, He can take that wayward daughter of yours. And you, if you take that rightly, you still got one there that you can keep right with God.
Amen.
And God will expect you to use some wisdom.
Amen.
Brother Ricky, He can take you and Kelly and that little baby that's laying over in that cemetery right now. And the suffering in your heart. He's not permitted everybody
to do that. Amen.
You might say, I'm a chosen vessel. Somebody said, now God don't just choose folks. I've got news for you. When He went into the garden that night, He said, Peter, James, and John, I want you three to come with me.
That's right. Amen.
Miss Hall and I was talking just the other day about her mom and daddy. Almost 23 years ago, we had to make a long, long, lonely trip down a little cemetery pathway to put her mama in the ground. And less than a year later, that same little pathway, we walked down and put her dad in the grave. And Miss Hall and I wasn't living right at the time. But I'm going to tell you something. It would have been easy for us to say, God, if You love me, You wouldn't let that happen. If You really love me, You wouldn't do me this way. But we wept. Till we couldn't wait no more. And by the way, it still hurts. It
Amen.
Still hurts
sure.
today.
Amen.
But I can walk up to that graveyard and stand at that headstone and look down at those three graves. And I can honestly say in my heart, Lord Jesus, I thank Thee for their suffering.
Amen.
That their suffering brought me suffering.
Amen.
That my family, my wife and I, might experience some of the pain of separation and be used in the ministry.
Amen.
I'm telling you something, friend. He'll take those things and make moonlight reflections that a lost and a dying world might see Christ.
Amen.
In You, the hope of glory. Let's stand together, please. I've preached a long time. I knew that I would. It's the reason I wanted to start as early as I possibly could. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I wish that some of you could just let Him take the situation that you're in. Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, O God, for mercy. I thank You, Lord, for grace, and I thank You for the work that You've done in my heart. Thank You, Lord, for the work that's been done in my wife upon us. Please help us, O Lord, to reflect the good grace of God and the sufferings of the cross. May God use me to fill up the sufferings of Christ in my flesh for this church's sake. Save someone. Bless and help Your people. See great light in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Blessed Assurance, that 159, Brother Joy. 157. I missed it, the two pages. While so many are praying, maybe you'd just like to slip out of your pew. Come right on and pray while hearts are tender and broken this morning. Sing that first verse. I want some of you ladies to come up here and pray with Sister Woodard. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, help us. Oh, help God, help us. Thank you.
Lord Jesus.